life is confusing, but staying connected internally helps a lot.
I think it does. We have to have faith and we have to allow ourselves humanly to see hope.
It's a real thing. Many people don't think that it is, but it has power, actually.
It does. It has enormous power. It gives us courage to continue on the journey.
You're listening to Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and my very special guest today is Lorna Byrne. Lorna Byrne is a spiritual teacher, philanthropist, and inspiration to people around the world. She is the author of 7 best-selling books, including Angels in My Hair, A Message of Hope from the Angels, and Love from Heaven. Her books have been published in more than 50 countries and 30 languages around the world. Lorna travels extensively to help people of all faiths and come together to learn more about their spiritual side. Lorna is the founder of the Lorna Byrne Children's Foundation, which helps vulnerable and marginalized children across the globe, and the Seraph Foundation, which supports Sanctuary, her center in County Kilkenny, Ireland, which is currently being developed. In 2019, she was named as one of the 100 most spiritually influential living people in the world by Watkins Magazine. So that's pretty amazing. And I actually agree.
I'm shocked when you say those words, you know, because I don't look at myself in that way. I just look at myself as an ordinary person here on this beautiful planet that God has given us, you know, and just to give the messages that I have been given to the world.
Absolutely. And I think that's why you are so influential. Because when I see you, it's very easy to see myself, ordinary person. When I see that you are making this connection, it means to me then that must mean that we all can.
Yes, we all can. And it's lovely to hear you say that, because in your words there, you're giving hope to others, because you're saying how it's helping you in that way. And, you know, we all need hope in the world today. You know, because the world seems to be kind of a little bit in chaos, but there's lots of love there as well, you know, and there's lots of goodness. We're just inclined to see all the negative. And in a sense, it stops us spiritually from bringing out the good. But we have to bring out the good, that love.
I agree. And I think part of the problem is that our societies and systems have broken down so much that there's not the support system that there used to be, even in our families and in our institutions. And we see even countries breaking down where there's just, there seems to be no stability. But I think rather than looking at that and absorbing it, we have to understand that it's the individual human, each individual, that provides the stability. So there's a way that when we can create that stability within ourselves, it may very well help to steady our families, steady the world, and steady the relationships that we have with each other based on our own inner capacities, more than looking for somebody outside to solve our problems. Is that something that you relate to?
Yeah, I do very much. And I know how important family is. You know, it's we have all lost that connection because, and against the world has made us all drift apart and only think of, you know, the material things when there's so much more. You're not just a human being, you're a spiritual being as well. And you have this incredible soul, you know, that spark of light of God. And it doesn't matter what religion you belong to, or if you say you don't believe in anything, you have a soul. And to me, that's so incredible. And as well as that, you have this guardian angel that never leaves you for one second and loves you regardless, you know. And I love that part. It loves you regardless of what maybe the world thinks of you. It doesn't judge you or anything like that. And we need more of that love and in the world. And the thing is, we have it inside of us, our soul. We could love and be more compassionate and caring for each other and put away these silly differences. Our souls are beautiful, and we are beautiful as a human being as well. I believe in mankind so much, and I believe in nature and all of the animals and all the gifts that we have been given. It's kind of, you know, reach back into your soul, reach back into that love, take those chains off and see everyone. Don't just see the human being, but allow yourself to see the beautiful soul, the beautiful person this person is, and put away differences. Like sometimes I just say to God, why did he choose mankind to give us that tiny little spark of himself? It's so tiny, but yet it's so enormous. What did he see in us? And I don't know when that happened. We could have been a blob. I don't know when it happened. And for some reason, and some people call God the creator. Some of them call God Jesus. Some people call God Allah. And there's so many other names. Like, he fell in love with us for some reason. He sees something incredible in us. And I know we can be more than we are.
I certainly agree with that. I agree with that. We could be so much more.
We could reach into our soul and allow that intertwining to happen between the human self and the soul. We could, you know, connect more to our guardian angel for that guidance. Like, when you think of it, God has given you a gift of a guardian angel. Why do we throw it away? Why do we deny it? You know, just think about it. Why does that happen? And I think that happens because, sad to say, but because of religion, you know, kind of changed our way of thinking. It's like long ago we believed in so much. We looked at the sun and saw how powerful the sun was. And we were wondering, and maybe we thought the sun was a god, but it was until we discovered it wasn't. And then we look at our planet and we've taken the gift of our planet for granted. You know, we're kind of doing the same as we're doing with our guardian angel, with our soul, kind of thrown it away in that way, and we shouldn't be. But I do know God loves us and your guardian angel loves us. And I know everyone out there, I love everyone. I always tell I don't care who you are or what you've done in the past or what you're even doing now. I just love you. Like I've often had someone stand in front of me and say all kinds of things, and I would just smile at them because I would feel so much love for them. And then I have often had people that would come and apologize for saying things, but I would just love them. So they would have nothing to apologize because I love you. Doesn't matter. You know, because I see your soul, I see your guardian angel, and I see it physically. And if I can see the angels physically and lots more, why can't you? That's the big question for me. Why can't you?
Yeah, and I think that is what many of us wonder about as well. And I think that your relationship with the angels has given you a greater insight than most of us have, because it's more tangible. You know, it's always been something that's real for you since you were a child. So that's giving you a certain depth of understanding that most people don't have. One of the appeals that people have to go and read your work and to participate in your lectures and workshops is because it's a felt presence that you bring. So when I met you some years ago in New York, you were doing an event at a big church, and there's a felt presence that comes with you. And I think that there's a way in which, because you have this deeper connection, it's almost as if your soul, your spirit reaches out, and it's not even words, and it touches people and it lets them know that there's something real here and it's not just talk. So I find that fascinating that, you know, you just have this presence that allows for people to potentially follow a different path, find ways to heal, come to greater understanding, and it just by virtue of making contact through you to that angelic realm, because there's a way in which you're a living angel in that regard. Yeah. I mean, I know you're not actually, but, you know, as a metaphor.
I have to say, you know, sometimes I don't understand human words because it's all normal and natural to me. I've seen the angels since I was an infant, didn't know they were angels. And again, which I told you before, it was only when I was playing with my little brother in front of the fire, and he was older than me, and our hands touched, and it just all sparkles everywhere. And I just felt so much love. And it was only then that the angels said that they were angels. But my brother, who was older than me, was a soul. He had already died. He had died seemingly at 10 weeks, Ooh. 10 weeks old. And as a young child, I never questioned anything. Even when I would see him as an infant in my mom's arms when she'd be asleep in the armchair, you know, in front of the fire. And I think that's something for all moms to remember and all dads, that if your child does go home to heaven early, it can be right there with you as well, because your baby had a soul, and it's the soul that comes back to visit, you know. And I think that's something we forget. We think, oh, so many people think that when they die, that's it. But it's not. I see souls of, sometimes I might be giving a big talk, and I always tell God, don't let them stop. They're to keep going. Mm-hmm. So the words I was given to say, and that is souls fleeting by, you know, and, by. And I always tell them to hurry up, keep going, don't have time for this at all. Mm-hmm. But again, it's something that we all need to know. You know, mankind needs to know that there's more to life and there's more to you. And because of your soul, you do live forever. You know, you're part of God's creation. You're his child. And I love that part when, when God says something, and how would I say this? I know I'm only a child, even though now I'm an adult in human form, but we're only children, you know. And I do love that, because God loves us all so much. And I know people say, but why do bad things happen in the world? God doesn't cause any of those bad things to happen. Man does. We do it ourselves. And that's why, if we could only love a little bit more and be more compassionate and understanding and have more empathy, maybe we wouldn't do so much of those horrible things, you know, to ourselves or to others or to our planet. Like, I know when you hear the news and there's war here and there's starvation and there's floods and this, I just cry. I literally just cry, because I just tell God, I can do nothing. I want to help everyone, but I can't help everyone. But I do pray and ask for comfort for everyone that is struggling, and that they themselves will keep the love there so that they can see the light of hope in front of them, you know, and they keep going up forward, not just for themselves, but for their children. You know, the children are always the ones that, in a sense, you know, suffer the most, because they're defenseless. Mm-hmm. They're very, very innocent. you know, and we should always protect the innocent. Like we should always protect, you know, the widow or the widower. You know, we should always protect someone that has, you know, fallen on hard times. We should give a helping hand. And that's why I always say, you know, pray for yourself, pray for your family and friends, but don't forget to pray for the stranger, the person mm-hmm. who can't pray for themselves because they feel unable to. They feel so lost. They need someone to pray and ask for them so that they can, how would I say, stumble out of that darkness, you know, see the light and make it. And of course, I'm always asking people to pray for the world, all the leaders of the world, you know, that somehow that they will reach in to their soul and listen to their guardian angel and start doing the right things for the people equally. Mm-hmm. You know, not just something for one group of people and forgetting all of the others, because I know what that's like, because we were so, so poor. And even, you know, to put food on the table was a struggle. You know, you were out digging in the garden with your hands to see what root vegetable survived, you know, the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then even like no child should be sick. And I know what that's like because you've no insurance and your child is so sick and you're desperate and they ignore you. You know, they're not so interested in your child. And that's really hard for any parent. Every child is precious. Every teenager is precious. Every mom and dad, every grandmother, every aunt and uncle are all precious. We all are. You know, mm-hmm. I wish God could put you all in my arms, if you know what I mean, that I could love you all. And I give to God every day and say, listen, God, why don't you give me a magic wand that I can just, you know, help, you know, the leaders of the world, you know, the big organizations to find solutions that are fair for everyone.
Yeah, I agree with you so much. It's difficult when we are faced with those contradictions. And I have come to understand that I don't see anymore the dynamic so much as good and evil, because to me that makes people into enemies. But it does seem to me that the world has been gripped by a kind of madness where people are so detached mentally and out of touch that they can't find their way. And I think what you're saying is really powerful, because when you do say those prayers, or even if it's a good thought or a hope for someone, it does, as far as I could understand it, open a light for that person. They may not notice it, they may not see it, but I think as we and more of us contribute in that way, it's a subtle thing and we can't always see the results, but I'm sure that it's working. I feel sure that it's working on some levels. So I think that that's a positive thing. Before we go too far along, I wanted to just let people know that you are going to be here in the United States very, very soon. And you're doing a workshop on the angelic path to self-love. And that's kind of amazing, because I really want to talk about that too. It's going to be at Omega, July 21st to the 23rd. And people can go to the website omega.org. And I'm looking at the website and it says eomega.org/the angelic path to self-love. But I'm sure people can find out more by going to Omega website, omega.org, or they can go to call and become a part of this experience. Uncover how self-love can help you become happier and more confident with Lorna Byrne, the best-selling author of the memoir, Angels in My Hair. And I love that idea of connecting the angels to self-love, Because you were talking about they already loving us unconditionally, our guardian angels. And there must be a way for us to make that connection on how we feel about ourselves. So maybe you can explain a little bit more about this concept of self-love.
Self-love is very important. You know, it's the thing we all need to love ourselves just a little bit more. And the more we love ourselves means the more we can love life. It means the more we can love others, everything. It means, you know, making that connection spiritually to ourselves. And I would probably get people to, you know, write a letter, a particular type of letter, or maybe I will, what would I say? Sometimes the angels would have me move people around for a reason. I wouldn't know the reason, but it would all have to do spiritually to that self-love, you know, to make that connection. And all as I can say is, you know, things happen at a workshop that, what would you say, most people never expect. So much of that self-love starts to roll out, the laughter and the tears, and it's like the healing. And I don't do it, God does it. And your guardian angel, I often say, if you stand in front of a mirror and pretend who's looking back at you is your guardian angel, and you want to love you the same way as your guardian angel loves you. Your guardian angel sees you as so beautiful. And yet some of us don't love ourselves because we don't think we are beautiful, but everyone is beautiful. And sometimes we don't love ourselves because, you know, we find fault or we think we're not good enough. But every human being is unique. No one can do anything that you do like you. And we have forgotten that, you know, and we should be in a self, in a sense, how would I say, hugging ourselves, telling ourselves, I love me, and telling yourself, you know, it's okay to go and have a cup of tea now, because I love me, I actually want it. You know, it's all the little things that helps us spiritually to bring out that self-love, that spiritual connection to our guardian angel, because your guardian angel wants you to love you. And it wants you to see that light of hope, and it wants to see you smiling, you happy, and you realizing that, you know, let's say you drew a picture, and let's say you always was trying to copy someone else's picture. You never actually done one yourself without copying anything. You never went out into the garden or into the park with a pencil and paper and looked at a flower or a tree or, you know, even a dog or a bird and drew what you saw. That drawing would be unique because it's what you saw. You allowed yourself to see. And I have seen people do that since I said it to them. And what would I say? They would say to me, Lorna, I never realized I could see more than just the bird. You know, or I could see more than just the tree because I always just look, I don't see. You know, so in a sense, spiritually, it's to not just look at ourselves, but to see ourselves, you know, and that we are pure love. You can never drain away that pure love. I always say to people, you could have a bottle of milk, okay, and it's white. That bottle, you can never empty out, you know. And again, that's something that we are so afraid of, that if we give our love, we'll have none for ourselves. But that's untrue. The angels have taught me how to love myself through the most simplest things. And I suppose maybe that's why I, in one sense, don't think the same way as other human beings all the time. You know, I enjoy myself even if I'm getting soaking wet. I love it. It's so beautiful. Even if I'm hungry or, you know, or I'm thirsty, or I decide to go for a walk, like I hear children now saying, oh, a walk is boring. They don't know how to enjoy. They have been told it's boring because they're not on a screen. Anything that you're not on a screen, or you're not, you know, screaming your head off in excitement, but they have forgotten how to feel life, how to feel that love. They have forgotten, you know, every step you take is incredible, you know, that you can do that. You know, they have forgotten how to feel life. If you understand how to feel, what would I say, as they walk or run or skip, you know, to feel that zest of life. You know, sometimes when you see a child or a young adult or even an older one running or dancing and they're doing it for themselves, that's them loving them.
Mm.
Next time you see that, see how free they are for that moment. And I would love us to learn how to spiritually always keep that moment. You know, don't lock it away again. You know, keep it, take those chains off.
Mm. And so many don't even know they have those chains on, don't understand that they're actually missing something very vital to their being because they've never been exposed to it and have only been exposed to whatever conflict and chaos they find around themselves. So I think that it's a very, very, very powerful what you were saying about feeling life, you know, to just experience your life without always worrying about where you're going, what you're getting, how much you're going to earn, how much influence you have, all of this external. I'm not saying people shouldn't do that, but they should be experiencing it internally as well, as you say. And maybe if it's giving them joy, then it's the right thing for them to do. But I think so often people get caught up in these patterns and syndromes and ideas that only cause them pain, but they keep doing it because they don't know that there's anything different. So I think that you're bringing this idea of self-love through the angels, through the angelic realm, to understand what unconditional love really is. I think most human beings don't even know what that is. And that may be why it's hard to have self-love. So I'm thinking that the expectation of engaging with this workshop, it's like you could think of it as going to a workshop with angels, because first of all, everyone's bringing their own guardian angel.
Yes.
and then there's going to be all this interaction in the space. So I would anticipate that it would be very magical if your guests arrive and they have an openness and curiosity and a willingness to explore this facet of who they are as beings. Because there's a way in which a human being and their guardian angel are a single being. I mean, that's how I perceive it. I know the guardian angels is a different entity, but there's something about that union that makes it whole. And I was wondering if you could explore that idea.
Yes, I understand what you're saying there. And yes, there is that union with your soul, with you and your guardian angel, because what would I say? Your guardian angel was chosen for you and you chose your guardian angel, you know, before you were even conceived, the two of you were together.
Mm.
You know, your guardian angel and yourself, you know, you were becoming, what would I say, best friends or more than best friends in that way. So in a sense, you are attached because your guardian angel can never be anyone else's guardian angel. It is your guardian angel for eternity, you know, forever and ever in that sense. And to me, what you have said, it's not part of your soul, but God has made it that it's the gatekeeper of your soul and it can never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even when your human body dies, your guardian angel brings you straight to heaven. And I know at a different stage, you know, your guardian angel doesn't have to stay right beside you every second because you're in heaven. You're safe, everything. It can, you know, go and intercede for someone in your family that maybe your soul, you yourself, have said, come on, go over there and tell God this is what I want. I want help for my niece or nephew or my great-great-grandchild or something like that. So it's, yeah, use our companions that, in a sense, like are attached at the hip, just using that mm-hmm. expression in that way. And your guardian angel only has eyes for you. Your guardian angel is not looking at other human beings. Its eyes are right on you. You know, it's focused on you and only you, you know, because mm-hmm. you are the most precious thing to your guardian angel. It's, as I said, it's the gatekeeper of your soul, which is that tiny spark of light of God that, you know, fills every part of you and makes you glow and is out there as well. And to me, that is incredible. You know, we need to make that attachment more to our soul, to our human self, and even that attachment more to our guardian angel, to listen a little bit more, you know, to respond. And I would always say, you know, your guardian angel will never ask you to do anything wrong. So if you're thinking of being spiteful or mean to anybody, that's not your guardian angel. That's you. You know, that's you.
And that's what people have to remember, you yes. know, when they're making their choices, that, you know, what we say and what we do and how we treat people has a lot of importance, I think. And it's, and we can really begin to pull back from some of that, you know, toxic, you know, just reactive behaviors based on whatever, you know, maybe your feelings are hurt, but it doesn't mean that we need to strike out and hurt somebody else. So it's kind of a tough thing for folks to learn. But what would, say, your guardian angel or my guardian angel or any of these angels that you connect with, how, what would they say to humanity or to their person? What do you think they really want us to hear from them?
That's a lovely question. And I'm just asking your guardian angel. I know I can't see it because we're on the screen. Mm-hmm. And your guardian angel is just using one word. And you can't buy it. It's not for sale. And you know it yourself. Love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Love is extremely powerful. You know, all the things that mankind are screaming out for and want separate from the material things, they're not for sale. You can't buy them. You know, even a person that, you know, just say someone has done something on you and you're looking at them and you decide to love them. You decide to forgive them. You're forgiving the person in front of you. But in that forgiveness, it's the forgiver that receives more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you have released your love. And the other person who has been forgiven goes away feeling relieved and loved. But mm-hmm. the forgiver receives more. And I can't explain that. It's like, you know, it's like they have touched their soul, the spiritual part of them. They have allowed that part to speak. When maybe the world would have said, why did you forgive them? They didn't deserve it. But you did forgive them. You became the forgiver, and the forgiver always receives more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand that. You know, I recently was spending some time with my aunt, my mother's sister, who's, I guess, at least 20 years older than I am. But I never really had a good relationship with this aunt. But she's the only one kind of left in her generation. Maybe there's one other. Lost a lot of friends and was becoming very bitter. Though the reason she didn't have friends is because she wasn't very nice. But but I decided, you know, this is my mother's sister. My mother has passed on. And I really felt that my mother just wanted me to take care of her, you know, despite whatever. So I decided to go and spend time with her and talk to her. And whatever nonsense memories, I just expressed an interest for her sake. And then I realized how much fun I was having with her and that we were becoming so much closer in those moments. And everything that I thought that I was carrying from the past kind of melted away. And there really was nothing between us that would stop the relationship. So sometimes we just have to take that step to be able to open up and be loving towards someone, despite what we might think in the back of our mind. And a whole situation was healed, I felt.
That's an absolutely beautiful story, you know, and again, it's the story of forgiving and love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and healing. It's, you know, I can imagine you in a sense putting your arms around your aunt, your mom's sister, and all is forgiven. You know, what was it all about in the first place? You know, coming to that realization in that in that way, that is extremely powerful. And I'm so glad, I have to smile. I'm so glad that you listened to your mom because she probably was whispering that to you to do that for quite some time. And
probably, yes. Mm-hmm.
Your guardian angel probably did the same, but just told you, the soul of your mom, come in and around your daughter here. I'm getting nowhere, you know, in that way, you know, you try it and look what joy it brought you.
Exactly. It was, and it's interesting because I was never denying of her, of the attention that she needed, but I felt closed off. And it's, you know, and that was really what the shift was, that when you allow yourself to sort of let go of those old thoughts in the head, you can heal a lot. And to me, that's kind of a model for what could happen in the world if enough people come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I believe so. If we just, you know, we have the choice. We can if we want, you know. But I do believe that there's lots of people out there in the world that are making that choice.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And we have to remember, love is powerful. Prayer is powerful. We pray because we love. And we pray because we love and we hope for good for everyone, you know, and they're all the things we can't buy. You know, it's like as if, you know, for some reason we think we can, but we can't, you know, and yet all those gifts are inside of us. You know, they're our soul and they're free. But I suppose spiritually for so long, we've been told, you know, you're not perfect, you're no good, all that you do is sin, you've no rights, you know, you know, you're condemned in so many different ways, but your guardian angel and God does not condemn you. They love you. Mm-hmm. And I love you. I don't care either. You know, And I wish I'd say to God, you know, and the angels, Archangel Michael, you know, I often say, you know, what are you doing here today? You know, you should be out there in the world working, not here with me, you know. And he would just remind me that, you know, Lorna, I can be with millions of people at the same time. And that I don't understand, you know, in that way. But I know God has the angels in the world because we need them. We need their guidance to help us as human beings to become better. You know, and again, that those beautiful unemployed angels that I've seen since I was a child and still see them today. And they're still falling from the heavens. And I describe it as in bucketfuls. They come rolling down from the heavens. It's like this big bucket is turned upside down and they just come rolling down. But then just as they reach the earth, it's like, you know, they straighten up, you know, and these unemployed angels are walking among us, you know, helping us every single day. You know, I've often heard of people saying to me, Lorna, well, I have three unemployed angels working with me, and I know I couldn't manage it only for them. You know, and again, they give us hope. They give us courage. They give us strength. You know, and I love that. And I do thank God for having the angels in the world. You know, they are creatures that were created by God long, long ago. I think it was before the existence of creation itself, even though they're part of it in that way. But I thank God for having them in the world. Because again, just like your beautiful story you've just told of your mom's sister, your aunt, you know, seeing that miracle unfold, hearing that miracle unfold, you know, gives me joy and hope for the world. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you, but by the way, I'm talking to God at the same time and all the angels. And I'm telling them, you know, let this happen for millions of more people. Get them to listen, you know, so that they will go to that person that they think that there has been a dispute with in some way or a dislike in some way, and help them to see the love and the beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing
else. And it's so true, because the beauty was there. You know, because even though she was complaining, at the point that things opened up and there was a real connection, she shifted herself. And I could see her becoming, you know, having a real smile, actually feeling appreciated. So by opening our hearts, we can heal so many people around us, I think. And I guess that's part of what a prayer is. I'm not really sure about prayer, but that might be it.
It is part of a prayer as well, like, you know, and for you to see her opening and smiling a bit and feeling contented. Isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely beautiful.
You could only put your arms around her and love her. Mm-hmm. Because in a sense, you were seeing, how would I say, a little light of her soul. You saw her change and you changed as well. Like, and I just want that to happen for millions of people around the world. And I know it is happening, but I'd tell God it's not happening enough and quick enough in that way.
I think that there's truth to that, for sure, that we need more of it, which is why I really love the work that you're doing, because you take people into a realm that for many seems magical and maybe not quite real, but it's impossible not to experience it, as you say, and have some impact. So there's a way in which what you're doing amongst the listeners and readers is kind of what I was doing with my aunt. It's like your energy is softening people to a deeper reality that we can't see with our natural senses, but can only be felt. So I think what you're doing is extremely powerful and is having an impact that you may not ever see, but it's here and it's working and it's available for people who want to engage with that. I say magical, not like in silly magic, but like the magic of miracles can happen to us if we allow it.
I love the way you put that as well. And yes, miracles do happen every day. Us too are having the miracle that we can see each other, talk to each other on a screen. You know, just miracles just constantly happen, but we don't notice them. We feel they're too trivial. But I thank God for those miracles. I thank God for the miracle, you know, that I am alive today, that I'm here today talking with this beautiful young woman on this beautiful screen that I'm seeing. You know, we just need to open up another little bit spiritually, you know, and realize that we are not just human beings, we are spiritual beings. And all as I can say to you, and I say this to priests and rabbis and ministers of all different kinds of faith, I just say to them, you know, God is real. Don't wait till the last moment of your death to discover that, mm-hmm. you know. And then you're saying to yourself, just as the time is coming, you know, why didn't I do more? Why wasn't I a better person? You know, but God loves you and your guardian angel loves you, you know. But I do sometimes when I meet someone and they're very ill, you know, I pray and ask for better, you know, for what way did I put it, you know, a better quality of life for them and for as long as possible, but only if it is good and right for them, you know, because mm-hmm. that's the important part. You never want someone to linger in this life just for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You must be compassionate for the person you love who is ill in that way, and always pray for a miracle. And I know sometimes they happen and I know other times they don't. I always say to people, I don't know why God chose that child and not this one to live, and why he took one home to heaven, you know, or that mom or that dad, you know, in that way. But miracles do happen. And we shouldn't give up on that hope of those miracles happening.
I agree. And I think that sometimes we don't realize, you know, the miracle may not look like a miracle. And I've been following this spiritual journey, I think, since I was very, very little. So I'm always looking at things in ways that don't seem to make sense. And you spoke about losing someone or losing a child. And it's been a long while now, but one of my nieces passed away when she was about 3 months old, I think. And the thing of it was, though, that she had parents who were in severe distress. They were on drugs, both of them. There were other children in the family that were suffering. So this little being came into the world for a short time, kind of captured everyone's heart, and then left. But in that passage, the whole family was healed. So both parents, you know, took steps to stop taking drugs. The other children in the family began to have a stable environment. And I always felt that even though it was a short lifetime, it was a very powerful one for this little girl. And to me, the miracle happened when she left.
Yeah, I love that story. And I would hear of many stories like that, you know, where an infant only came for a short time, and how it changed, that infant changed everyone's life in the family, you know, and sometimes even strangers. But that was a full life and a powerful life. I love it, because that's the only reason that little soul came, mm-hmm. to its family and the outer family as well, you know. And again, it's a very powerful miracle, you know, to think of the family in such stress and drugs involved and drink and all kinds of things. And then this little soul that's pure, you know, like I'm always being told that, you know, a soul gets marked with sin. And I have asked God about that. And he says, no, how can anyone mark me? Just think about it, you know. So this mm-hmm. little soul came pure and just came for that short moment that God sent it for. It already knew its guardian angel was with it in heaven. You know, it knew it was only going to come for a short while and what it was to do. you know, and it did it. And then it went back home again, you know, so two homes, two families, you know, the little soul's family in heaven and the little soul's family here on earth as well. Like it's again, such a beautiful story of how miracles happen and how healing happen and how love, like, how would I say, love grew, compassion grew, hope grew. And again, all of those things that you can't buy. And it's like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Reaching out to that little child's hand, tiny hand, you know, and holding it. And I know that's what the whole family did. They held it for a moment. And that's all that was needed. Like, isn't it wonderful to have, you know, not to feel sad that this little child never grew up, but to feel great joy that this little soul came for such a short time, but to help this miracle to happen, to allow this miracle to happen, and that the family responded, you know, through tragedy, if I'm pronouncing it properly, came love. The love, the compassion came from everybody, came from the parents, even through tears. And that's love. Sadness is love as well. You know, what a beautiful story.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that what you're teaching can allow people to open up to that potential, because I think in every relationship, every connection, there's a potential for that miraculous thing to happen. It may not, you may not recognize it, you may not be able to appreciate it right away, but we're living in this realm where this is a very natural and common thing, potentially, if we can allow it. I'm really happy that you're coming back to America, because Americans need this energy. I won't say more than other people, but being here, I feel that we need to move back into that sacredness. A lot of that has been lost. And when you come, you're kind of bringing that sacred energy and rekindling it in a way. So I'm really happy that you're going to be here and you're going to be offering this live workshop for people who can actually be in the room with the angels. An amazing workshop, The Angelic Path to Self-Love with Lorna Byrne, July 21st to the 23rd at Omega. And you can find the website. It's actually spelled with the E and then the O, EOMEGA.org. And you can find the workshops, or you can search by Lorna's name. She spells it LORNABYRNE, Lorna Byrne. And I'm looking at the website right now, and it also has other of your workshops. So in case somebody is not going to make it to the live one, you have one on demand, so they can check that out as well. That's pretty cool.